The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds!
Woo-woo!
Boom shaka laka laka boom! Wow, got quiet all of a sudden.
Another Sunday in, folks!
We're back!
Whatever!
My name is Mark Kent, and you're listening to Sovereign Minds, the radio show. I'm your host, once again, and it's Sunday. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
Okay.
Just saying. I'm trying to figure out why I don't have a chat room.
I have a chat room.
Well, that's good for you.
I also have a chat room.
Well, I don't. It says no channels available.
Are you using Safari or am I trying a different browser?
I use Brave.
Brave. Me too.
That's Brave.
Yeah.
I think I'm in the chat room on Brave. Yeah, I am, so it should work. Anyway, we've also got in the studio with us the kid that rocks around the clock faster than a speedy internet connection, more powerful than a high-speed download, 10-degree black belt and ramp, Cyber Dave Johnson!
Good morning.
The crowd goes wild.
Not to steal your thunder. Linda, have you been blocked out of chat?
Maybe.
Probably.
Uh-oh.
Probably.
Why would I be blocked?
What'd you say in there?
You'd be surprised what I might have said.
And the good times keep on rolling.
Let the good times roll. All right. So we also have special guests, or guests if you prefer. We have a guest, but I think her bodyguard's here or something. Because I wouldn't mess with him. Not unarmed anyway. We've got Jackie La Barbera with us today. I believe
you did say it correctly.
And she is currently running for SCOE?
Correct. Shasta County Office of Education.
Boy, you can say that five times fast.
Yeah, that's why SCOE is much easier to say.
What is your current office that you're holding right now?
Right now I'm the board president for Anderson Union High School District.
Okay.
So West Valley, North Valley, Anderson New Tech, and Anderson High is what I oversee.
Right. Very good. Very good. Well, we wanted to get you in here. I know my sister talked to you. I haven't talked to you. I'm not even sure how you found the studio, but.
She's been here a few times.
Has she?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I think this is the first time we've actually met other than at a fundraiser. So.
Yeah.
This is my first time on Sovereign Minds, but yes, I've done a lot from this studio.
Well,
yeah. So thank you for having me.
We like to think we're the best radio show there is. So just. Never mind. So let's get it going. I know you have a limited amount of time here, so we want to kind of cut to the chase a little bit here and get to some of the problems and solutions. And
first, can you tell us a little bit about you and why you're doing what you're doing?
That's a good idea.
Sure, yeah. So like you said, my name is Jackie La Barbera, and I'm the current board president for Anderson Union High School District. I'm also running for Shasta County Office of Education. I have been a stay-at-home mom for going on 21 years now. Never really involved in politics too much, actually, at all, to be honest. Carry a little shame regarding that, but I think I'm making up for it now. Until about 4 years ago, when I think a lot of people that hadn't been before became awake and aware of what was going on in our nation. And that journey, you know, it broke my heart. I can still remember to this day the moment my heart was broken for my nation. And I didn't understand. I didn't understand where my part in that was as a Christian. You know, what does the Bible say about America? And so that journey kind of led me, you know, into studying the Constitution for the first time on my own. And I like to tell people that when my Christianity and my patriotism came together is when I came alive like never before.
I think that's great. I always think of, you know, when I think of the biblical, you know, history and then where we're at today, the first thing I always think of is that when the Israel was released from Egypt in slavery, I believe that they were told never to let yourselves be enslaved again.
There you go.
And that's what I always think of, and I think that's what has been the fight all along throughout the ages, is that government has always tried to enslave its population one way or another, you know, whether it's through money or just outright slavery. So now we've got debt slavery going on here, but we have a document that has then been produced by Christian men to try to keep slavery from ever happening again. And that's the deal. I mean, and if we take it down to the local level to where you're at, you know, what do you think the biggest issue is of the day in what you're involved in this fight?
So, like I said, you know, I had just gotten involved in politics about 4 years ago, and that was just before Rush passed. And I remember Rush kept saying, again, I'm a newbie to politics, but he kept saying, you know, run for school board, run for school board. And I'm looking at all these national races and, you know, state races. Why is he saying school board? I don't get it. But then when I realized that our constitutional republic is designed for the power to flow from the bottom up,
right.
I got it.
Right.
And I'm like, the school boards are the closest to the people. The education of our children is the future of our nation. So we can do all these things nationally, and we can do all these things, you know, statewide, and they're great, and they all work together and in tandem. But if we're not taking the people that understand how we're designed as a constitutional republic and proper representation, if we're not taking those seats on those school boards, that's why we are where we are because they just rubber stamp. They don't understand a lot of what I've found since I got involved in school boards in the last 2 years is that a lot of these board members, they're not necessarily bad people. We have a lot of conservative board members across Shasta County, but if you looked at the public education across Shasta County, it mirrors any other county in the state.
Right.
I mean, it's completely 100% sold out to the state's agenda. The people do not have a voice.
I think the reason for the local control is to have the parents basically monitoring the curriculums and making sure that their children are being taught what they want them to be taught and not what the government. We didn't even have a government or a board of education at the federal level till what, 68 or something like that.
But nothing's gotten better since its inception.
Right. But back to what you said to start with, I think everybody, we looked at the top to start with until we started really getting involved in the politics and really examining everything and how it was affecting us. Mm-hmm. Then we realized, oh, no, the power is in us, and we need to go from the bottom up.
Yep.
And it really came to light with COVID because the parents are going, wow, I had no idea what was happening with my kids in the educational system.
Yep, and I had four kids in COVID, in public education during COVID, and so I went through as a parent firsthand the forced masking, the vaccines on our high school campuses. You know, Enterprise High School and Shasta High School had vaccine clinics on their campuses for students. Yeah, so I went you know, through that, the learning losses for my kids. Tremendous learning losses for all of my children. I had a second grade foster daughter at the time that had an IEP and some special, you know, special needs, emotional needs, and it was horrendous. And so then to come out of that and realize now, you know, now we know it was the teachers' unions that were holding those kids hostages. It was the teachers' unions that were sitting there for the betterment of themselves to keep the kids home. And, you know, yes, parents do need to know what's going on. And like we were talking about earlier, you know, the way it is right now, parents don't have time. They don't feel empowered to be able to look at curriculum or to understand what's going on in school, in public education policy. And that's why it's important that we have people, you know, like myself to represent them.
Right.
Well, and the teachers union is a pretty radical organization.
One of the strongest unions there is.
They're the number one donors to the Democratic Party, the National Educators.
Did you happen to catch Randy Weingarten's little speech at the DNC?
Oh, I can't stomach it anymore.
I caught a little bit of it. Number one, it was kind of funny because she was so short that you could barely see her over the dais, which is interesting. And she was back there basically, you know, talking like Hitler or something. I mean, I hate to do that comparison, but you know, the over animated and you know, yelling and all that stuff. So I don't know, but they're crazy as far as I'm concerned.
And they're absolutely driving most of this. It's absolutely disgusting and incestuous.
So what do we do?
We get people like me in office.
Get you in office.
We've had quite a few wins at the Anderson board. I'll tell you, if I can just toot our horn on that a little bit. I love your opening song. You know, you can hear the kids in there saying the pledge. And you know, Anderson and Cottonwood, it's pretty, you know, pretty rural. I think people would say, oh, gosh, you guys are probably the reddest area if you were to look at, you know, schools. And when I got on there, I realized it didn't take me long to figure out that none of our schools were saying the pledge corporately.
I didn't realize that.
No.
None.
No, and that's common across Shasta County.
Really?
But in Anderson, I was like, oh, okay. So I pulled up our policy, our patriotic exercises policy, and I looked at it. And it made it look like it was optional. So I pulled up legislation, which is where that policy came from. And I saw how the people that wrote this policy twisted legislation to make it look like it was optional. So we fixed that. And now we're doing, you know, the pledge corporately. People can sit out if they want. It's still the right. But, you know, interestingly enough, when we changed that policy, the teachers union president, Eva Anderson, was the first one to stand up and say she was going to sue us through ACLU for forcing the pledge.
Well, you got a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing in all these places. It's even like at the Board of Supervisors level. You know, one of the things that just drives me absolutely crazy is this Mary Rickards is a conservative. It's absolute insanity. So if I say I'm a conservative, but I do everything that's exactly the opposite of conservative, am I still a conservative?
Right.
I guess as long as you keep lying, you are what you say you are. That's kind of what's been going on at all levels.
Yeah, and in public education, you know, Ed Code is very clear. The purpose of public education in Ed Code right now, and under the, you know, United States Constitution, the California Constitution, is to, you know, teach and pass on a spirit of patriotism and morality to the children. That's in Ed Code, Randy Weingarten. It's right there.
Wow.
It's still the same.
Well, there was supposed to be a fun. I think. I don't remember who said it. I believe it might have been Adams or somebody said that this Constitution was designed for only a moral people.
Yep.
It was wholly inadequate for anybody else.
Yep.
And that's why you can't be free and uneducated, Thomas Jefferson basically paraphrasing. So that's why they've targeted the education system, is the dumbing down of the children to not understand where their rights come from, why they want rights, why they need to be free, why they need to protect those rights, why they need to be involved in this experiment called self-governance. And that's the job of the parents and the teachers at the local level.
But like we were talking before we come on air about the money piece of it and how they have designed the system where both parents have to work and stuff, and then the school boards and the education system has got dependent on the money.
Exactly.
And they go, well, what can we do? We have to do what they say, otherwise we don't get no money. So, you know, it's a vicious circle that we need to change.
Mm-hmm. And it's always fear-based. You know, that's what I've experienced firsthand is, well, I mean, during COVID, you know, as a parent, back to what we were saying about what happened to the kids during COVID. And as a parent, me going to the school boards for the first time in my life, I mean, what is a school board? What do they even
right.
do?
Yeah.
And going and saying, take these masks off my kids, or stop sending my kid home because one person on campus had COVID. You know, and they're just pointing to SCOE. And so you go to SCOE, and SCOE's just pointing to the state. So, you know, it's all
pass
it along and rubber stamp. Nobody understands that the breadth and the sanctity of their position as a school board member. And it is a constitutionally protected position.
So just defy them, reroute the money. I mean, what else? And I guess there's a lawsuit going here or something that
Anderson does, yeah.
Do you want to talk about that at all? Or?
Yeah, sure. So I think probably a lot of your listeners are familiar with a new law that was that was signed by Gavin Newsom in just this month, AB 1955. And AB 1955, what that does is it makes it lawful for teachers to keep secrets from parents. And
so this is the one where they can do transgender things or whatever, or they can come out. I'm not even sure what the whole deal is, but the parents don't have to be informed.
Correct. But what's important to remember about that, though, is that's already been happening. Shasta County has had, you know, pro-DEI and implicit bias training and policy and secrets from parents for 8 years.
Wow.
And until some, you know, until some of us woke up and got on these boards and started digging into policy and realizing how it happened, you know, is really kind of when we started to take a stand. And so when we realized that, remember, this is before AB 1955, that there is currently a policy across California in every school in Shasta County, not in Anderson anymore, but in every other school, AR5145.3. And that is the policy, the regulation that allowed for the last 8 years children to be secretly transitioned at school. So when we started to push back against that up here and down in Southern California, you know, the teachers' unions, of course, it's not the law. Show us the law. They couldn't because there is no law.
Right.
So several of us stood up last year and wrote parental notification policies, basically saying if a child wants to change their name or use a different facility, it lists other things too. But basically the crux of it is getting at you can't keep secrets from parents. And so we did that. And, of course, Bonta, you know, sued the first school district that did it. They stood their ground. Even during that lawsuit, Anderson stepped up and wrote their own parental notification policy. And then a couple other schools did as well. So then what did they do? They got and amended an old bill, and in 6 weeks got AB 1955 passed to make it a law. But our stance is still that we won't comply. Right. We won't comply. It's repugnant to the Constitution. It's unlawful.
I think that's going to be the stance as we go forward more and more. So we're just not going to do it. You know, I mean, like I say, we pulled our kids out immediately because we were lucky because I had a complete distrust of government and vaccines to begin with because I've seen vaccine injuries happen to our kids before. And so I was immediately, nah, we're not doing this and whatever. But that doesn't solve the problem because not everybody's going to be able to just pull their kids out. And so the problem that we have at hand is that more and more people that have values that, you know, believe in the Constitution, that believe in freedom and liberty need to step up and start taking these positions at these levels in the school boards.
Well, and the big thing, too, is that you don't see.
You're not on.
Oh.
There you
press
are.
Too?
No, yeah.
I just cut his mic.
So the big thing, too, is that a lot of the parents that would homeschool and are homeschooling are not active in these school boards. And so you look at what's taking place and you have people that have no business being around children in the first place. Have no business being around children in the first place based upon the fact they don't have kids, they don't want kids. A lot of times they're completely radicalized or living in their parents' basement, and they're getting these positions where they're deciding what your children are going to learn and what they're going to do. And a lot of time it seems like you get people in there that are interested in grooming children on these boards. And like I said, they have no vested interest. It's the whole idea. The left doesn't have kids. They have yours. That's the scary thing because the parents are entrusting a government system the same way that we've let everything else falter around us where we're trusting a government system to improve the homeless situation. Right. How's that worked out?
Right.
To improve the school system. How's that worked out?
Right.
College system. The housing system. Let's see what happens over the next 2 years now that they're messing with that.
It's okay. We're just going to give money to all the illegal aliens. And it'll be fine.
The next push in public education, and it's already coming down right now, is housing for teachers on school district land, housing for teachers and students.
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, it's there.
It's already happening in some areas.
Yep. Yep.
So
yep.
I
believe in Chico area there's some of them that's happening with.
A wise man once told me a long time ago, whatever the government giveth, the government taketh away. And that's what these people don't understand. They think that as long as they're getting everything from the government, that they're in good shape. But at some point in time, it's all going to go away, especially if we keep going down this road, because that's what happens in a communist country. The government runs out of money. It's like Thatcher said, it's all good as long as you have, until you run out of everybody else's money.
Well, not just that, but then they have total control over you.
Exactly.
And then that's where they're headed with everything, whether it's the educational system, the private property, whatever it is, that is what they're striving for.
So it says in here, in the thing you gave me, that you believe that we can increase the efficacy of local funds. How so?
Yeah, so, I'll direct you to EdSource. Just came up with a big study on all that COVID money. So on page one.
EdSource article.
The fourth page, yeah.
I got it.
So, you know, after COVID, I think everybody realized that the learning losses were staggering.
Right.
Kids were suffering. And so the federal government infused public schools with $190 billion to overcome some of those learning losses from the COVID era. And what they found, so now that time has gone on and that money has been used, they did some research on it, and they found that only 20% of that 20% of that 190, which is $122 billion, was spent to overcome learning.
See, that's what these guys do. All these big bills, all the Inflation Reduction Act, whatever they say it is, it's exactly the opposite. It's like social insecurity.
Right.
And what they do is it's about graft, whether it's going over to supply money for the Ukraine war or for what ends up happening is they end up greasing everybody's palms who's for the program along the way,
yep.
Whether it's the teachers' pensions or their wages or whatever it is. As long as everybody's going along with the program, but the problem is they're going to keep doing this, and we're at a deficit right now where the interest on the debt, if it goes up over 4 or 5% or up to any higher amounts, is going to be the biggest item on the budget at the federal level. So as they devalue everybody's currency, this thing's going to go belly up no matter what happens if we keep going down this road. So what then, I guess, is the question. Bring
right.
everything local?
Right. That's my thing. And so, you know, the article went on to say, and I really appreciated it, EdSource is not – it's actually very much more liberal because it is centered around public education, which, you know, there's billions of dollars in. But what the conclusion they came to is that the money all came without enough oversight.
Oh, gee, I'm
really?
Wow. Would have never guessed that one. Didn't see that coming at all.
That's kind of like the study they did on tricycles to figure out why they fell over, and they said they cornered too sharply.
Right. And so, you know, that oversight, again, back to what I said, that's at the school board level. But what you've had is people that see those positions still as just ministerial. You know, it's just you pay these administrators yep. $200,000, $300,000, the CBOs, you know, on the schools. You pay them, and then you just rubber stamp whatever they send to you. But where's the oversight in there? Where's the voice of the public in that? And so there is a lot of fear, you know. Anderson, we have become a target, unfortunately, which, you know, I knew going into this when we started pushing back, getting – you know, another thing that we passed with that patriotic exercises a policy was we only allow the U.S. and the California flag on our campuses, on our school sites. You know, there was everything else under the sun.
Are you sure you don't want an Iranian or a Chinese flag?
No, we just
flag?
Want those two.
Yeah, because there was other flags being flown in Anderson area.
Yes, it most certainly was.
Yeah,
we had some other stuff.
We're
going to
talk.
Now we don't.
In the second half of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about who's been getting money from Chinese and Russian sources a little bit. But I digress. This is one of the reasons that the founders.
The school system, the education system, has been for a long time.
Yeah, and it's not. It's old in the playbook, right?
Yeah.
Look at Mao. Look at Stalin. Look at Hitler. They always capture the youth. The public
Absolutely.
Institute. Yes.
That's
so
what it's all about.
Yeah, it's nothing new.
That's why one of the tenets of the Communist Manifesto. Is they have to have a central bank that basically prints its own money. And that's why the Constitution said only money is gold and silver, because this prevents the government from running away out of control with its spending by basically counterfeiting. And that's so we keep going back to the same problem, is always the money and the government control of the money. And it's, you know, we could get deeper and deeper into that, but I don't want to at this point. We know how I feel, but So can we pull that money back to the local level and not have it go to the state or wherever?
I believe that there are ways that we can do it with a portion of the money, yes. The other thing, I'll give you a good example. So You know, we've known the need for trades programs in our high schools for a long time, right? I pulled the numbers the other day, and I think it was in Shasta County high schools, you know, they follow kiddos, and only 17% go on to earn a four-year degree. And so, okay, well, then where's the other, what is that, 83%? What are they doing? And so when I got on the board, they had been talking about working with ROP to get some grants for construction trades at Anderson and Cottonwood. And I realized quickly that that can had been kicked around for a really long time. And so I got together with my fellow board members, and we thought, hey, let's look at the budget. Can we just do it? Can we fund this trade? This is what our kids need. This is what our parents want. Can we do it? And we did have the money. And so we decided as a board that we were going to heck with ROP dragging their feet, we're going to do it ourselves. We're going to fund the program ourselves. So we did. We applied in the meantime, you know, we applied for a grant called the Golden Pathways Grant through California Department of Ed. And we were awarded it. Many schools across the state were awarded the grant. It was great. Even though we were going to pay for it on our own, why not? You know, if we're okay with what it comes with, why not? And so, after Anderson, filed their lawsuit against Bonta and, Newsom, we got a letter saying that our grant was revoked. Yeah. So, which was what everything the left wanted to hear. See, you can't do that. This is what happens when you do that, right? But what they didn't realize is they actually, California pulled the grant from every school that had gotten it because they ran out of money. But we had, as a board, decided preemptively, we're going to do it with or without state money. Okay. So there are ways, and there are ways, but it's uncharted territory. We just haven't done it. And so I don't think it would take long if you got some more people board set up, you know, like what we're doing in Anderson and on SCOE.
Obviously what we need, because if you go to a four-year school, you know, a university, and you come back with a degree in transgender studies, you know, there's no market for that. What we need is people out here, plumbers and, you know, construction and carpenters and all of that kind of thing, because quite frankly, they're making a lot more money than the transgender professors are to begin with.
Well, there's lack of those trades out in the real world, you know.
That's what I'm
saying.
And
then we used to have those trades in the school system, and the kids were brought up with some of those trades, and now they don't have anything when they leave at all.
Yeah,
so it felt really good as a board to be able to say, well, thank you, no thanks for the grant you're pulling, but we're doing it anyways. So I
guess we got to go to a break.
Yeah, I guess we got to go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Resort and Casino. Join us for our $50,000
cash harvest.
Swipe to win drawing.
Swipe your free River Club card daily to win free drawing entries or other instant prizes.
Win up to $200 free slot play at weekly drawings every Thursday starting at 7 p.m. Don't miss the final drawing on September 26th and October 31st for a chance to win up to $2,000 cash. For complete details, see WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowner's crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Hey, Redding, take an inflation vacation with Black Bear Diner's 7 new weekday dinner deals, starting at just $9.99. Tasty fish tacos, creamy fettuccine carbonara, steak and fries, a crispy chicken dinner, beef stroganoff, and more. Serve Monday through Friday after 4 p.m. Escape inflation's grip on your wallet and set the table tonight with good old-fashioned family food at your friendly Black Bear Diner in Redding on Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
The Reading Fashion Alliance is dedicated to making sewing, fashion, and business education accessible for everyone. We are a nonprofit located at 1616 Market Street. Get ready for November 9th as we present Artisan Avenue, the craft of fashion. Experience a runway of a blend of couture fashion to wearable art. Tickets will be available starting October 1st on our website at readingfashionalliance.org. Our call for fashion designers for Artisan Avenue is open until August 31st. Visit our website for more information on how to enter into the fashion show.
Back at it again. They kick biting down and putting Kamala. Drag queens reading books that are gay. Inflation soaring, they've been crashing the dollar. I'll fix it with Elon Musk and RFK. She talks to people just like they are toddlers. I guess we got no choice right now but to pray. They want to divide us again by our colors. You're a bigot if you're white and you're straight. Russia, Russia was a lie. Plus good people on both sides. Lied about my rally size. Eating Carol's crazy ass. Called Ukraine, they died again. Overfed fish in Japan. Racist from my travel ban. They're just jealous of my tan.
I almost wanted to hear the rest of that. Let's play. Are we ready to go for a quick clip? I want to play this Moms for Liberty clip. Trump had a meeting with them real quick, and then we'll get back to our guests here. Hold on. Here we go. Let me get it up.
Maybe. Hang on.
Turn down for what? Is that what's going to happen here? Well, hold on. We'll get back to our guests until I get this. It's just spinning, so I'm not sure what happened here.
Everything's crazy.
Everything's
so
crazy.
So while he's looking, is there something you would like to hit upon while we're waiting?
Yes, I think one thing that was important for me to say is, you know, SCOE has an annual budget of $100 million. A lot of staff, a lot of administration, a lot of properties, a lot of buildings, a lot of overhead. And what I wanted to make clear is separating the problems that I see aren't so much with the staff and the administration themselves. There's a lot of wonderful people working in these programs that SCOE has. The problem is with the board itself, the board of education itself, their lack of representation and their lack of oversight in those programs and in all that money being spent. The downstream benefits just aren't there. I don't see them. I don't see that money doing anything. The middle schools, the high schools, we're still getting these kids with, you know, huge academic underachievement. And so part of that efficacy that you said earlier, Mark, was, you know, how can we focus on real metrics that are examining academic outcomes and not just pumping more money into programs?
I'm going to try this one more time, and then we'll get to our caller. Here we go.
I'm for parental rights all the way. I don't even understand the concept of not being.
Thank you.
But when you see some of the things...
Neither do we.
When you see some of the things that doesn't... That's another, you know, like, why would somebody want to have an open war? Why would some... When you see some of the things that they want people to do in these school boards, and they become like dictatorships, and the parents are screaming for the life of their child, a lot having to do with transgender, a lot having to do with a lot of other things, you've got to give the parents truly love the kids, okay? Some of these people on the boards, I think they don't like the kids very much, what they're doing. So you have to give the rights back to the parents. And I can't imagine it. Well, okay, this administration has been the opposite. This administration, it's like the FBI goes after the people. That, like, it's some kind of an insurrection. It's crazy.
They called us domestic terrorists, President Trump.
Can you believe it?
For speaking out at school board meetings.
Well, we'll change that on the first day, I promise you. Mm-hmm. No, can you believe it? You are not a domestic terrorist or a terrorist. We do have terrorists coming in, and they're coming in by the thousands, but you're not one, Tiffany.
There you go. So I that's why I wanted to play that. It kind of hits on what we're talking about here. You can't be afraid to get involved at all, because if you do, it's just going to get worse anyway. Right. So I guess
we And with that, we do have a caller on the line. We have Steve. Are you there, Steve?
I'm here, yeah.
You have a question?
Thanks for my call.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to make a comment. I really appreciate your guest this morning. She's stepping up, and you know, we like to remind everybody about the Moms for Liberty, which is doing a big job and taking over the school boards. But my real purpose for calling is LaMaffa was up here last week, and he was just a dead horse. It was ridiculous. It was the same pipe, candid campaign talk that he gives every time I've ever heard him. Just more procedures and talk about what they do in the White House. And I cut him off, basically. I cut him off. I just said, enough. I got to, you know, what are you doing? The ranchers, the water, the dams, you know, there's no talk about any of that. And you're just going on about procedures in the White House. And we all know that the White House is not even in charge any longer. It's somebody above or a group.
Yeah, who is in charge anymore? Biden's spending an awful lot of time at the beach these days.
Well, yeah, and even, you know, I mean, the last 70 years, Mark, you're very much aware of it, yeah. But I just,
I hate to cut you off, Steve, but hurry up, because we've got limited time with our guests, and we don't want
to. Exactly. I just wanted to say LaMaffa's a dead horse, and we've got to find somebody better to represent us. Thank you much for your program.
All right, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Can I comment on his comment?
Yes.
Sure.
I appreciate that. And that's one of my frustrations with, you know, returning control back to the local people, is that, you know, you've had these people like LaMaffa and the Dollies in these positions for how long? But our school boards here in Shasta County, they still don't get that it is within their jurisdiction and within their power to prevent and to protect our children and our parents in this county from state overreach. They didn't get out and share that information. Unexcusable to me. If you've been in public office for the last 4-8 years and you haven't empowered the people and you haven't reached out and you haven't helped in these things, you're complicit, and I'm not voting for you anymore.
Do you know how I've been attacked so often about the same thing you just talked about with the Dollies and LaMaffa? Because what I see is people who like to talk a lot, who get up there and say eloquent and flowery speeches, but do nothing. You know, I mean, we need fighters. We need warriors. We don't need milquetoast people that are just going to show up there for a cushy job and act like they're doing something.
What's LaMaffa on? 7 terms or something now?
No,
I mean, yeah, he's been in there a long time.
Well, since Herger. I mean,
yeah, he's been in there. It doesn't matter, but my point being is he's been in there a long time, so what's going on?
And I think some of their outs, you know, are, and I've heard Megan and people like Doug say that before as well, that's not our jurisdiction. We can't affect school board policy. Yeah, but you know these candidates. You understand politics. You understand the system. You can help empower the people by speaking out.
That's exactly right. Why don't you, if you're going to say something...
Right.
Then why don't you say something about the real problems and give people the real solutions? Even if they can't implement them themselves, they can sure as heck tell people what they can do and how to implement solutions to have some effectiveness. Not just sit up there and go, yeah, I'm for the Constitution and I like the flag. And yeah, okay, great. We all are for that. And that's the problem. We've got rhinos, and I'm not necessarily saying Doug's a rhino or Dolly's a rhino, but what I'm saying is, if you're an ineffective person who does nothing except sit up there in their cushy job and tell everybody that that you don't understand what's going on, that's the problem. But we have to get an alternative, and you have to primary these people. And they've had a lock. It's like the Dollies over there at the Republican Central Committee. They locked out our candidate who was going to win at that level by changing the rules during the meeting so that he couldn't get the votes. That's what's been going on, and people need to get involved, and that's why they started this other committee of Republicans that I'm supporting now. I can't – there's too many acronyms, so I'm not going to go there.
Well, a lot of it goes about the money, too, because you've got right. the Republican Party, which ends up funding these people, and they'll actively fund against candidates that would attempt to primary aside from their guy, because we're now a nation that's run by the lobbyists, for the lobbyists, and from the lobbyists rather than from the people. Why is it that you have an individual that can end up accepting donations on an individual level of like $2,000, but me as a company, I can donate all the money I want to a PAC, and then the PAC can basically buy the election?
Well, I think what we got to do is start the party that Ted Nugent advocated for. It's called the Middle Finger of Defiance Party.
Yep. That's right. And with that, we do have a caller on the line. We do have Terry on the line. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How you doing?
The Pretty fun good. Never stops.
What you got?
Well, first of all, the jurisdiction of the federal government over the school system is simply money. That's it. And Doug LaMalfa came out with H.R. 1585 last March. When he came out with that law, that was supposed to stop the parental secrecy policy that schools have. And again, it's a policy, not a law. Well, the way they were going to do that was to defund the school districts that would follow that. They were going to defund them. Now, there was two things that they ran into. I'm sure that most of you got the flyer that LaMalfa sent out. I went ahead and I called Mark Spanigold, who's the chief of staff for Doug LaMalfa. And I said, well, I said, what exactly can you do to stop a policy, since you can't change the 30 horrendous laws that they passed in our legislative body here on the schools, everything from drag queen story time to any gender is okay to where a boy can go and shower with a girl if he wants to. These are laws. They're not mandates. They're not policies. And that's all state jurisdiction, which would be DALI, et cetera. Getting back to H.R. 1585, I asked Spanigold, I said, What is it that you think you can do to stop these policies? Well, we can stop the money. And I go, well, how much money do you send? He said, a lot of money. I go, what's a lot of money? Out of a pie of it. He goes, well, it's billions. Well, how much of the pie? Maybe 60% of the pie. My comment was, okay, what if basically Newsom gives you the middle finger? He goes, well, what do you mean? I go, how many people do you think gas up a day in the state of California that go from the Mexican border all the way to the Oregon border? How many? 5 million, 10 million, 20 million? Oh, what about airplane fuel? Oh, what about diesel? How many people do you think gas up? Not just the people in California, but the people going through it. With that money, he could just say, you know, I don't need your money. I'm just going to add 10 cents a gallon so that I can back law 777, SB 777. I can back the law of AB 2013. I can back all these different laws by saying we want to keep the rights of the children to keep their privacy, and therefore I'm going to add 10 cents a gallon. And Spanigold basically said at that point, you guys are on your own, meaning California. And I think the thing we have to look at is that jurisdictionally, we have to fight this thing in California. And I agree with your guest saying that you just can't comply anymore. You're just going to have to say no, because California holds the purse strings. And I'm trying to figure out, I thought that it was said, and maybe I'm wrong, that the Constitution guarantee school boards. The Constitution has nothing to do with schools. The state has all the jurisdiction over that, with the exception of some of the funding. So
in the 70s, when they came up with when they federalized public education, they did write into the state's constitutions that the school board would be the legislative
body.
Constitution. Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Because I thought you said
correct,
okay, that's
but they
the
did see. Yes, they did
well,
see.
Well, it's the state constitution. So the state has jurisdiction. That's what I'm trying to say. And you're right. The state has jurisdiction, not the federal government. So really, Brian Daly and those people, I'm not standing up for LaMalfa by any stretch of the imagination. But that's where we have to put pressure, is on our assembly people and on the governor and on the state senate. Because there is no other jurisdiction that the federal government has. And it written into the California Constitution, all that does is strengthen their case that we as a state and as a legislative body have jurisdiction, so shut up and do what we tell you.
I think you still have to go back. I think you have to go back to the fundamental premise of the Constitution, that all these rights are enumerated to them and that they are delegated to them, and that if they are not operating in the best interest of the public or the people that their constituents, then you just have to defy them and the law, I guess.
That would be under the doctrine of lesser magistrate.
Right.
You're right. If we have used the doctrine of lesser magistrate, we can use that. and use that on, in school boards. We can use it. We can use that's where we should be going with this stuff.
Well, you know,
because the people do have the right.
I was going to say, you know, they've got Newsom down there. If he goes down there and he passes a new law, AB666, do we have to follow it?
Well, the point is that with the doctrine of lesser magistrate, you probably don't. The challenge that you have is that the jurisdiction is still of the state. See, there's nothing in the Constitution. Yeah, we have our general rights, of course. But, I mean, those things can be usurped by the state if there's no jurisdiction on what you teach in the school by the Constitution of the United States. We didn't delegate anything to them as the states that they could do.
But the Constitution is the superior law of the land. It overrides the states.
That's right. If we can get the local people, including the Board of Supervisors, to agree on all this stuff, and then you have an opportunity to do something locally. But again,
we've done a lot locally, Terry. We've done a lot locally on a school board level. My comment about obviously if Doug was to write something that, you know, overreached and usurped the power delegated to the school boards, that's not what I'm advocating for. And I really appreciate Doug coming up with HR 1585. That was great. I was there when he announced that and I appreciated it. But, you know, once it fell flat though, it was kind of that's where the steam ended. And what I would have appreciated as a school board member is some of those people more experienced, like the Dollies and like Lamaltha's, you know, team to kind of come in and boost our lesser magistrates is kind of what I
want to mention who our guest is again, because we had somebody call in to figure out who you were. We're with Jackie La Barbera, she is running for a position on the SCOE board.
Right.
And she has a position already, but I can remember what it is.
Anderson Union High School District Board President.
There you go.
Thank you.
So,
you're right about the jurisdiction of the school board, and we're all hoping and praying that we can take this back locally. But bottom line is, we're going to have to say no to the state.
That's the answer that we keep coming to, Terry.
No matter what it is,
pound sand, right. And you work for us.
We right. won't comply.
There you go.
Right.
All right.
Or submit to tyranny.
Yep. Or submit.
Thanks
Correct.
For the call, Terry.
Okay.
So much
loaded with all this educational stuff.
There's a lot of points here to run off of, but I don't know. I mean,
as far as SCOE goes, and can anybody vote for you? Is it certain districts? How does that work with SCOE?
Yeah. So SCOE, Shasta County Office of Education, is broken up into two areas, and my area is actually one of the larger ones, and there are four people running for three seats in that area, and that's Bella Vista Elementary, Black Butte Union, Cascade, Castle Rock, Columbia, Cottonwood, Fall River, French Gulch, Gateway, Happy Valley, Junction, Millville, Mountain View, North Creek, Oak Run, Pacheco, and Whitmore. So
wow.
It's a huge area.
Yeah.
Can we get a list of do you know or have a list of the people that are supporting parents' rights and the Constitution?
We do. Yes, I can get that to you.
Yeah, could you get that to us? And you can send it to my email or my sister's email there. And so I'd like to go over that. And we'd like to get any of those candidates on the show if possible.
Yeah,
so
maybe they could give us a call.
Maybe
now.
Give us a call. I don't know which number we should give them.
Give them the office, 530-221-0101.
And if you don't get through.
But you have to be careful because you still have the same people.
Leave a message if you have to, or send me an email at kentmark, kentmark at msn.com, and then we'll go from there.
I think if I could just say one of the most important things so people need to understand is that these school board races will be on all the local ones, and Shasta County Office of Education will be on your ballot on November 5th when you go to vote for the president of your choosing, and to vote wisely and do your homework. You know, I mean, for me personally, I think if I was a parent, the most important thing I would be asking a school board candidate is, where do my rights come from, number one. If they say they come from the government, then that's not the candidate that you want.
Right.
Our rights come from God.
You even got to go deeper than that, because they'll tell you anything that they think
True.
They want to hear.
Yeah.
So
right.
you got to analyze a little bit more in depth and know the
And people. You can't just go by, because I have a big list of who's running. I have most of them, I think. And there's some on there that's listed like Republican or whatever. And
right.
It's like,
right.
No, I don't think so.
So well, then your second question would be, and do parents have the right to know what's happening to their children in public education? Right. And if they hem-haw and, well, it depends on if that parent's safe or not, I'm out.
Right.
You know, I don't have any kids here. I don't have any grandkids here. And, you know, I want to know this stuff. So back to the voting piece. So I can vote for you if I'm in Cottonwood. Mm-hmm. You have to be within the district, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So under that, yeah. So all of Shasta County is broken up into two areas for Shasta County Office of Education, Area 1 and Area 2. And those are both on the election this year.
Hmm. Good.
Interesting.
Good. Very good.
Yeah.
That's probably the best thank you.
Explanation.
Thank you very much.
So do you want to put it out? How to get a hold of you if people have questions or any of that? Do you want to give out your information to the folks?
Sure, I can give you my email address. Is liberty, the number 4, education, at protonmail.com. Do you want me to say it again?
Sure.
Liberty, the number 4, education, at protonmail.com.
Phone number? Or no?
No, thank you.
Okay.
I don't have one.
We'll leave it
at
that.
Not a public one.
So I know that you're going to have to run here pretty soon. Is there anything that we didn't cover or get out there that you would like to at the last
we got 5 minutes.
Segment? Yeah. I know that you have to run here, so.
I have so much. What questions do you guys have? I have 5 more minutes if you want to ask me more questions.
Yeah. I wonder if somebody just wanted to get involved. Maybe they don't want to run for office. Maybe they want to just get involved in the school system.
Or helping you guys get elected.
Help. What could we do? What could I do? I have no children in the – I have nothing. So if I want to get involved and help get a better education for the kids in my district, what would I do?
Moms for Liberty is a great resource for that. Absolutely. That's where I would direct you.
Okay.
Moms for Liberty knows what's going on in each of the school districts with libraries, with books, with policy. They're a great starting point to get involved.
Who's in charge of that? Is that Doug Gorman and Leslie?
Michelle, I think, is involved.
No, it's Karina. I got Katrina and Karina. I've got several of them on there. His wife.
I think there's a few of them, but anyway, okay. That's one place to start. Wonder if I want to attend meetings.
School board meetings?
Does SCOE have meetings?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
When are their meetings?
I believe they're the second Tuesday. Oh, no, those are my meetings. The third Tuesday of the month is when SCOE's are.
Katie Elizabeth, thank you.
Yes.
I don't know why I was having such a struggle with her name today.
So anybody could attend those meetings.
Yeah, and you know, we tried when some of us realized, you know, a couple years ago that this policy and regulation was in place that was allowing schools to keep secrets from parents. You know, we tried. We went to SCOE. We many meetings trying to convince them that these are our children, that these children do not belong to them. And, you know, one of their board, I will never forget what he said. He told me it was a moot point. Because SCOE only oversees, you know, preschool kids. And I said, parents' rights are never a moot point. I don't care what age of children we're talking about. So that's what we're up against, you know. I believe that anybody that was on that board, you know, during COVID and the lockdowns and the vaccines on clinics and complicit in passing these policies to keep parents from secrets, keep secrets from parents.
Well,
they don't belong there anymore.
It doesn't seem like they've backed off from it at all either.
No.
I mean, all the evidence that the vaccines are now the problem, all the evidence of the lack of learning, you know, the putting the kids behind, the speech impediments, all of it. And it doesn't seem like any of these people that implemented this are backing off it at all.
Nope. I don't see it.
No. Well, I want to thank you for coming in and spending the time with us. And we might be able to get you back before election.
Great.
We're pretty short on time frame, but just let me know your availability and we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, what is it, like?
Like 2 months?
2 months.
Like 60
days or something?
Yeah, so ballots go out October 8th.
So it's even less than that.
So it's
really
even less than that, yeah.
I'm telling everybody, vote early. They're going to be an October surprise of some sort. The internet's going down. We got a little segment on that. The machine's being wired up. But vote early and get your ballots in as quickly as you possibly can. Don't wait for election day because we are not in the same type of environment that we were even 5 years ago, where you could actually go down there and vote on election day.
Yeah, there's two different schools of thought on that, but yeah.
Well, I think that they're counting all the votes early, and the earlier you get it in and you can track your vote, that's what I'm going with that. Dan Bongino is the one advocating for that, and I trust his judgment.
Well, our new ROV, Toller, I think he said they're gonna try not to count early, a lot early. What he said.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting how this plays out. That's for sure.
Well, there's a new sheriff in town, so I don't know.
But again, thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you for what you guys do.
All right. Very good. Hey.
Hey, I think we're about at the top of the hour. They're probably going to cut us off here for the news. So we will see y'all on the other side.
All right. Very good.
Cause you were bred for humanity and souls to society. One day you'll wake up in the present day.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Herron. Former President Trump asking a federal court to intervene in his New York criminal case. Here's White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
With sentencing scheduled for next month, Trump is looking to overturn his felony conviction and indefinitely delay his sentencing. The former president's lawyers asked the U.S. District Court in Manhattan to take control of the New York City criminal case, arguing that the state-level prosecution violated Trump's constitutional rights and ran afoul of the Supreme Court's recent ruling on presidential immunity. Last year, Trump tried to move the case to federal court, but it was rejected. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Philip Morris International says it will build a $232 million factory in Kentucky.
The expansion will boost production of nicotine pouches that the company says are part of its strategy for a, quote, smoke-free future. Philip Morris says expanding the Swedish Match plant in Owensboro is expected to add 450 jobs, boosting the factory's workforce by about 40%. The factory in western Kentucky produces ZYN nicotine pouches.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. Hotel maids have for years waged a fierce battle to restore automatic daily room cleaning that was scaled back at many properties during the pandemic, resulting in many of them losing their jobs. The dispute has taken center stage during tense contract negotiations in cities across the U.S. this summer, with at least 15,000 members of the Unite Here union threatening strikes this fall in 12 cities if their demands are not respected. Officials say a juvenile suspect is in custody after allegedly shooting San Francisco 49ers wide receiver Ricky Pearsall in the chest during an attempted robbery in San Francisco yesterday. Pearsall suffered only a minor wound. He's going to be fine. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Leslie Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group, and I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney. And the truth is, I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney or if I look like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare without me being an attorney. And I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call, and you will not talk to an attorney. And I guarantee we take you as a client. We'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-838-8822. That's 800-838-8822. 800-838-8822.
Mexico will offer escorted bus rides from southern Mexico to the U.S. border for non-Mexican migrants who have received a U.S. asylum appointment. The National Immigration Institute of Mexico says the buses will leave from the southern cities of Villahermosa and Tapachula. It appears to be an attempt to make applying for asylum appointments from southern Mexico more attractive to migrants who otherwise would push north to Mexico City or the border. The announcement comes a week after the Biden administration expanded access to the CB1 application to southern Mexico. Paralympic organizers say triathlon competitions in Paris scheduled for today have been called off because of concerns about water quality in the Seine after heavy rainfall. The 11 para triathlon events are now scheduled for Monday if upcoming water tests allow. The rainstorms pushed an awful lot of E. coli into the river. News and analysis at townhall.com. California lawmakers have approved a host of proposals aimed at regulating artificial intelligence, combating deepfakes, and protecting workers from evolving tech.
The California legislature, which is controlled by Democrats, voted on hundreds of bills during its final week of the session to send to Governor Gavin Newsom's desk. The Democratic governor has until September 30th to sign the proposals, veto them, or let them become law without his signature. Newsom signaled in July that he will sign a proposal to crack down on election deepfakes, but has not weighed in on other legislation. He warned earlier this summer that overregulation could hurt the homegrown industry. In recent years, he often cited California's budget troubles in rejecting bills he would otherwise support. Bertie Bennett reporting.
Today is Sunday, September the 1st, and a number of notable people are celebrating a birthday, including attorney and law professor Alan Dershowitz, who is 86 years old today. Talk show host Dr. Phil is 74, singer Gloria Estefan, 67. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
FM 1460 AM, your talk radio. I like to say your truth radio. That was we just had a guest, Jackie Lavabera. She's running for SCOE, and I think she should get your vote, from what I'm seeing. So,
if you live in the district, you know, that's kind of amazing that there's only two districts in Shasta County. That's a pretty large area,
right,
that she named off for schools.
Right.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to go ahead and play the town hall here. I think we got calls coming in, but let's get the town hall out of the way real quick, and then we'll go from there. Oh, wow, it says we can't open that media file. Hold on, let me.
I'm telling you, something's.
I've got it right here, so let's try it one more time here. Now it's, there it goes. Here we go.
Good day and welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, here with the latest local updates. In her presidential campaign, Kamala Harris advocates for grocery price controls to address rising food costs. While aiming to improve affordability, history suggests this policy will have significant consequences for our food supply chain. Grocery stores caught between fixed selling prices and rising costs could face financial strain. This might lead to closures, particularly impacting smaller stores in low-income areas. Surviving stores may shift focus to non-controlled items resembling dollar stores more than traditional supermarkets. The ripple effect could extend to food producers who may struggle to maintain profitability without the ability to adjust prices. Farmers, too, could be impacted if controls extend to crop prices, potentially leading to decreased agricultural output. This chain reaction might culminate in food shortages, possibly necessitating government intervention. Understanding these potential outcomes is crucial for voters evaluating Harris's proposal. On the topic of government policies and their impacts, the California State Legislature passed AB 1840 this week, a bill making some illegal immigrants eligible for up to $150,000 in assistance to buy homes through the California Dream for All program. Recipients
Floridians would only pay interest if they sell the property. Governor Gavin Newsom has not indicated if he will sign the bill, which faced opposition from moderate Democrats and Republicans who argue resources should prioritize citizens needing assistance. Democratic Senator Scott Wiener defended the bill, saying qualified illegal immigrants are, quote, exactly the kind of people wanted in communities. Economists warn subsidies without increasing the housing supply could raise prices. Newsom pledged to build 3.5 million homes by 2035, but has only added around 600,000 units. He has until September 30th to sign or veto the bill. Shifting gears to local government matters, the Ellis & Marcus law firm hired by Shasta County in June 2024 found that Supervisor Patrick Jones did not act inappropriately when he destroyed a January 2024 letter from the California Attorney General. The county's policy at the time lacked clarity on how supervisors should handle official correspondence. Open government advocates argue that this case, investigated by the same firm that examined the sheriff's office under former Sheriff Eric McGreeny in 2021, highlights weaknesses in the county's public records policies. The report referenced a federal law prohibiting the destruction of public records, but experts say state laws and local policies are more relevant. They emphasize the need for clear guidelines on records retention and destruction. In May, the county implemented a new policy requiring mail staff to photocopy all mail, but further clarification may be necessary. Moving on to a heartwarming story of resilience and community spirit, Becca Hausman, owner of Becca's Cafe in Anderson, recently relocated her cherished restaurant. Despite challenges, Hausman's determination and the community's support made the move possible. Known for their generosity and a soft spot for veterans, the Hausmans raised over $500,000 for various causes, including helping families affected by cancer, wildfires, and supporting military personnel. The cafe's loyal customers reciprocated by assisting with the move and donating equipment. Overcoming personal health issues, Hausman remains dedicated to serving her community. The new location features an expanded menu and capacity while preserving the cafe's unique charm and honoring veterans with a special room. Becca's Cafe embodies the, quote, Anderson strong spirit, showcasing the power of a community united in the face of adversity. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X.
Well, there you go. Yep,
there you go.
All right, so.
Yeah, specifically talking about that thing with the thing with them allowing you to basically have a $150,000 down payment and $25,000 and additionally that Kamala is trying to do. Only if you're a first-generation American. So what does that mean? So our veterans don't get that deal. You as a citizen don't get that deal. Shall I just destroy my Social Security number, pretend that I'm a Russian, and come in over the border so I can get all of these amazing free benefits? Because that the American dream is no longer a dream if you're American. It's only a dream if you're, I guess, a dreamer coming in, huh?
Well, it's not going to make any difference if she does the price controls like she wants to. Do you realize everybody's going to be way out of luck?
Well, totally screwed. You're going to screw up our food. You're going to screw up our housing. You're going to make it to where people don't have places to live and more people are homeless. You're going to make it to where the pale horse rides, which I guess that was the theme over there for the Olympics, which, you know, I mean, death and famine, that seems to be a thing that's coming.
Well, I'm going to play this little clip from Bill Still about Kamala Harris. She's actually a card-carrying communist. So let's go here, and then we got other stuff to play, elections and a lot of stories to cover. So here we go, and let's hear this. I don't know what's going on today, but let me...
I'm still having issues with mine, so who knows?
Let me refresh this here, and...
Morning, I'm still reporting on the coup. Over the weekend, a Soviet-era Russian document was posted on LinkedIn showing that Kamala Harris was a dues-paying member of the Communist Party of the USA from 1984 to 1991. This document was posted on August 19th on the official Telegram channel of the State Archives of the Russian Federation, or GARF. It is the Communist Party of the Soviet Union party card of U.S. presidential candidate Kamala Harris, which she received during her first visit to the USSR in 1984. Subsequently, Harris visited the Soviet Union at least three times. Senior researcher at GARF, that is the State Archives of the Russian Federation, Matvey Streitsov, told reporters, to dispel all the controversy surrounding Comrade Harris, today we will publish a unique document from our archival fund, her party card, which was personally presented by the second secretary of the Korn Samoei in June 1984. Interestingly, Harris has refused to comment, but according to the once great New York Times, her campaign headquarters will not demand a retraction on the story. So it will stand that Kamala was indeed a member of the Communist Party USA, and her party dues were paid through 1991, a seven-year period. This comes as no surprise to those who have followed her father's work. Harris is a retired Stanford University professor of economics who was best known as a combative Marxist economist. According to Evan Snopes, the elder Harris was known as a Marxist economist. Here is his picture with what we assume is baby Kamala. In Mr. Harris's 1978 book, Capital Accumulation and Income Distribution, Harris discusses Karl Marx's theory of capital. According to The Economist, Harris once argued that the inequality that beset black people in the U.S. did not come from a form of colonial rule where white people dominate. Instead, he argued that the problem was capitalism itself. This is pure Marxism. So what we have is a Marxist as the Democrat presidential candidate who has totally sidestepped any sort of approval by popular vote, along with a vice presidential running mate who is clearly as much the tool of the Chinese Communist Party as Hunter and Joe Biden have been. Nice job, desperados. I'm still reporting from just outside the citadel of world freedom. Good day.
So, I go down these Board of Supervisors meetings and you hear that long-haired idiot down there. We're not communists. No, you are. I mean, gee, Hunter's getting paid from China and Russia and it's filtering to the family. And Biden, we're up to like $20 million on the report out of Congress. But that's different. And all of the Russian disinformation that was proved that didn't have anything to do with Trump was made up by the FBI.
Well, there was so much of that, almost everything, if not everything that they said.
These guys have been
true.
So brainwashed, they don't have any brains left. They've all been scrubbed.
All the conspiracy theories that they said were theories came true.
Well, we need to go back and we need to look at the history of the Communist Party in America and the people that are trying to completely overthrow our government and our populace. So you had the Russian Federation at the time was saying how they were going to infiltrate and that our children were going to be the ones that would vote us into communism, which look at lo and behold. There was the Un-American Activities Coalition that was testified under oath in 1953 that of the approximately 4,000 members of the teachers' union during the time, 1,000 of those members were card-carrying Communist Party members. They infiltrated the church, specifically the United Methodists. They infiltrated all of the print media and all of the actors and the radio. And if it wasn't the head and the president of all those departments, their secretary. That was what came out of that in 1953 under that department's interest in finding all this stuff out. And you can look it up. You can see all the teachers that were eliminated. You can see all the Fifth Amendment rights and things like that that people were taking and not deciding to talk about anything. This has been an ongoing problem, and it's not going to get better until we, the people, actually stand up to this conglomerate that is basically taking over our country just to ravage it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I have another little clip here, and this is interesting, and I think everybody needs to listen to this because we've had this controversy about, this last week of Trump going to Arlington Cemetery for the Goldstar families.
Yeah, and taking photos.
Yeah, it was a photo op.
Yeah.
Well, I actually have the father on a clip here of one of the whose son died in the Afghanistan withdrawal. And let's hear what he has to say about this whole thing. Are we ready to go? I think we are. So let's hear what he has to say about this whole thing.
This is Mark Schmitz, Gold Star father of Marine Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz. here we are in a beautiful holiday weekend day. I got to stop what I'm doing, spending time with what's left of my family, to address a heinous, vile, and disgusting post put out by Kamala Harris, trying to incite those that don't follow the truth that President Trump was in Arlington as a political stunt. Shows you how much you know about the 13 families. We invited him to be there. Groundwork was put into place by Congressman Issa's office to make sure we followed protocol. Why did we want Trump there? It wasn't to help his political campaign. We wanted a leader. That explains why you and Joe didn't get a call. Imagine for a second that your kid is killed, and there's a president of the United States willing to take you under his wing and listen to you. That's what we found in President Trump. Certainly not you, and certainly not Joe Biden. You have 13 families who have been waiting over 3 years to so much as get a phone call, to so much as hear our kids' names said aloud in the halls of Congress, at a State of the Union, hell, anything. The irony behind your post that you give a rat's ass about our military or our veterans, Jared's brothers and sisters in arms, the rest of the 12, their brothers and sisters in arms, is an outright lie. We're living proof of that. You're despicable. You have zero business running this country. And I pray to God, Americans, wake the hell up and get your ass.
I had to stop it there because he starts throwing, he starts getting pretty angry and he throws an F-bomb.
Well, he should.
Well, yeah, your kid is dead based upon the people that are currently in office, and they have the ability to come out and say that nobody died under their administration. And we also, I remember specifically that day, we had information on reports from Glenn Beck 3 hours beforehand that there was an imminent attack. They told the American people to stop coming there. They still had the other people coming in there, and they knew exactly what was going on. They put the Taliban in charge of checkpoints going into the area. The person that was wearing a bomb that was driving through that checkpoint was wearing a bomb that extended about 2 feet in every direction around their torso. You wouldn't miss it. The Taliban let that through, and our administration let those 13 soldiers die, not to mention all the countless others that were around there, and the people that still got left behind there who are American citizens, in addition to the 30,000-plus, all the people that helped us over there. We left behind retinal scanners, fingerprints. We left behind all of the information for the Taliban to hunt down every one of our allies and kill them, in addition to those 13 soldiers that lost their lives.
But before we get to the caller, but what gets me about that whole thing was those families invited. That tells you what kind of people are on the other side to think that it was a photo op, that somebody wouldn't be paying their respects to the people at Arlington National. I'm sorry.
Anything for political gain. Exactly. Steal.
That is where their mindset is.
Anything for political gain.
It's sickening. It is absolutely sickening.
Yep. Mind you, remember the watch that Biden was looking at because the time was so important to him when he was actually attending the funerals? Yeah. That same Biden.
Yeah. And with that, we'll go to Jimmy. Good morning, Jimmy.
Man, that was a moving clip from that parent. Wow, that was something else. And I was going to comment on the watch with Joe Biden looking at his watch when they were carrying those soldiers'
bodies
back. You know, I mean, that was so disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see World News Tonight play that clip. You know, because they're always talking about this big, thing about Trump going there. Mm-hmm. Why don't they play that tape? That'll sum it all up real quick.
Oh, well, they're not going to allow, they're not going to do that because it shows the truth of the matter of exactly and how much respect that Donald Trump has for people.
Exactly. That just summed it up right there. You know, that would be a story that they wouldn't talk about ever again if they heard that man mm-hmm. say what he just said. So the other thing is you guys were talking about communists infiltrating our government. And I remember when I was a kid hearing about the McCarthy hearings in the 50s, right?
Yep.
And going, oh, these people are crazy. What the heck are they, And now it's like, whoa, they were right. And it happened. So don't forget history because it repeats itself, folks.
Yep.
Anyways, love your show. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Thanks a lot,
thanks,
Jimmy. We
thanks,
appreciate
Jimmy.
It.
All right. So,
unfortunately, if you don't know history, it will repeat.
Well, and it never stopped. You look at all these things. The other big thing, too, that a lot of people don't understand. All right, so you had slavery that was abolished, and then after slavery, you had the marriage licenses that were then issued. They were an entirely racist thing to begin with because they didn't want any of the black slaves that were freed to then marry their daughters, so they created marriage licenses for the people that were interracial because there was all kinds of laws preventing them from doing it. And then the people that got marriage licenses, the government was now invested in those people and started ending up looking at their children and had control over that. That's exactly when you started seeing parental rights that were slipping. And back then it was just called common law marriage. You didn't have a license. You didn't have the government getting involved. So you look back and you see exactly all of the degradation of our society and all of the control. It all kind of started right about the same time frame. People forget there also wasn't an income tax. That wasn't a thing. We didn't have an income tax.
We didn't get an income tax. We got an income tax in 1913, and it didn't affect anybody because it was 6% on anybody that made over $500,000, I believe it was, $250,000 to $500,000, whatever it was. But
it was a lot of money for back then.
There was no payroll taxes on wages till World War II, and then it was said that they only put it on there as a temporary measure to win the war. And so that's what we got out of World War II was we got taxes on all of our income. On our wages. So people don't realize that some of these things have been going on for a long time.
And
so,
that will go to Dick. Good morning, Dick.
Good morning, Linda. This is not the first time I've mentioned this over the air. I happen to be the treasurer of a group called the Shasta County Veterans Support Group.
Yes, you are.
Anyway, we're having a fundraiser, and what do we do? We're actually a group of volunteers who receive no compensation, but we help the veterans living at the Veteran Road, the Knighton Road Veterans Home. And what all do we do for them? Well, the state will not approve a lot of stuff that they wish to have. Recently, we recovered the pool tables that we purchased years ago. We supplied military flag with stands for every branch of service. We built a bocce ball court. Recently purchased a bumper pool table, a shuffleboard dance floor, and on July 3rd of this year, we had root beer folks social out there. And it's all done by fundraisers and donations by anybody who wishes to donate. And right now, we're having a spaghetti feed with meatballs, salad, bread, and dessert at September 28th, the last Saturday in September at Anderson VFW, 4 to 6 p.m., adults $15, veterans $13, kids $1,210, and I happen to have tickets. My phone number is, get a pencil, people, 530. Come on, get a pencil.
We got it. I got
we
a
got
pen.
The pencil. I have a pen. Go
530-246-9131. Or you can call Linda Billingsley, 530-510-0612. We have tickets.
Yes, you do.
So let's help. And if you don't want to go to the dinner, you can't make it because you're deer hunting or something, you could donate cash. We take cash.
And we have a credit card reader and everything that we can do that with.
I have a card reader. I'll take credit card donations, anything to help. We need to help the veterans who live out there. Please help. Anyway, that's it.
All right. Thanks for calling in. And thanks, Dick, for everything you do. And Frank and Jesse.
And Linda.
And Linda. Yeah. Out there at Sportsman's Warehouse. You guys, I'll tell you what. You guys are the bomb. I don't know what I'd do without you, but yes.
I'm pretty proud of my Linda Lindas. They're kind of like Linda. They're like Limpa Loompa. They're kind of like Loompa Loompas, but only they're the Linda Lindas.
But yes, it does help give the residents out there at the home things that they would not be able to enjoy otherwise. So if you can help us out, we greatly appreciate
it. Don't forget if you want to give cash to Dick at 530-246-9131.
Yep, he's a great guy. Love you.
Yeah, I love
all right.
I love that. I love it. Anybody who has zero, qualms about asking for cash. I like him.
I have to. You know what? He's a great guy out there, and you know, people will say something sarcastic or something, and he'll go, "Good answer."
There you have it.
Good answer. And then he goes, he's a wonderful man.
So
we appreciate it.
I got something here that is going to probably spark a little bit of controversy. I've been avoiding this topic for several reasons for quite some time. Not that I didn't believe in it as much as that I just didn't see any way to do anything about it or anybody talking about it of consequence because we have so many more problems. But this last week, I think this is reportable news that RFK Jr. vows to stop crime of chemtrails as part of the Trump administration. Now, I think that's kind of big news because it's kind of an acknowledgement that they actually are spraying something out there.
Did they already outlaw them in Arkansas? I do believe they can't do chemtrails in Arkansas. Yeah, I believe
evidently.
Arkansas.
Oh no! Well, no. It says April 11th, 2024. Tennessee was the first state to pass a law banning the federal government from geoengineering experiments and intentionally dispersing chemicals into the atmosphere. I thought that was all just smoke and mirrors, or should I say, chemicals and mirrors.
Well, and it's interesting because you had things like Vice Reports that actually had done a big old news story on chemtrails, but they didn't call them chemtrails. They just ended up calling geoengineering and some stuff like that that they were doing. And then that got broadcast out on one of the bigger platforms. I forget who it was, but a big following. And within about 30 minutes of that, they completely wiped the internet of it. And it's one of those things to where you can go through and see the documentary. And I think there's a few people that still have it
these
up.
These guys wouldn't do stuff like
that.
Come on. They don't lie, cheat, or steal, or censor anybody. I got censored on Facebook this last week for
posting the eagle and
stuff. the eagle saying mm-hmm. It's like they said it was graphic content, an eagle praying, saying that heal the country, or I don't have it in front of me.
I'm gonna look it up, but yeah,
it's like what.
So yeah, I don't do much on Facebook because
I post because that's where the battle's at in some ways for me. But it's like, you know something? So I posted Uncle Sam.
It says violent or graphic content. This photo is covered so people can choose whether they want to see it.
So describe the photo and tell me what does it say?
Let's see if I can get it to. Oh, come on. Dear God, I bow my head and ask, if it be thy will, please save this land from those who seek to destroy it. Amen.
With a flag behind an eagle with its head bowed.
Yeah, and everybody that reposted it or had anything to do with it, they blacked it out.
And so I posted Uncle Sam giving him the finger.
Well, and mind you, too, this is the platform that does this every single election.
He admitted to it.
He just did a mea culpa on this thing, and they haven't stopped it at all.
Mm-mm. Well, and me and my wife both got banned so badly, I couldn't go to the store and buy a burner phone with cash because I was geo-blocked from the location.
So speaking of geo, I do have a short clip to play from a pilot on the geoengineering thing. So it's about a minute.
We got to go to a break.
Okay, let's go to a break.
We'll come back with it. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
coffee, my old friend. I've come to order you again. I hear the grinding of espresso beans. I need a double shot of pure caffeine. And the indie band on the speaker soothes my brain. So I'll remain within the sounds of Starbucks. Tried to brew my own at home, but felt so quiet and alone. I need to be amid the morning rush, where the leather chairs are soft and plush. And I'll drink a grande cappuccino with a pumpkin scone and charge my phone. Listen to the sounds of Starbucks.
Looking for natural relief for yourself, kids, preschoolers, or elderly from coughs, colds, allergies, and high blood pressure? Visit today at Capturing the Essence Salt Cave on Market Street, where salt is like a toothbrush for the lungs. Salt therapy can help you breathe easier, decrease pain, and infrared sauna supports weight loss and detox. Visit today and start feeling better. Call 530-338-2094. That's 530-338-2094. Book for a first-time discount at Capturing the Essence Salt Cave, where salt is like a toothbrush for the lungs.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Wildfire season is upon us. Being prepared saves lives. Develop and practice an evacuation plan with your household. Stay informed about local fire conditions and follow evacuation orders if issued. Know your evacuation zone. Go to ShastCom911.com. Click on Be Prepared, Know Your Zone. Type in your address and write it down in case of emergency. You can also sign up for Alert Shasta at ShastCom911.com.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
All the talking heads on TV, they're selling their lies. Saying their way is better for living my life. And I'm fed up with them set up all high on that hill. They never gave a damn about a common man. Hell, they never will. So you can say what you want to about the things I hold you and the fabric that makes up this red, white, and blue. 'Cause I'll fight for my country till the day that I'm done. And I've still got my God, and I've still got my gun. I was raised up to stand up for what I thought was right.
Sovereign minds. Over the free fire. Community Radio from North State, your truth radio. 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and we're back. And I want to play a short clip here. This is back on the geoengineering topic. This is a pilot speaking out, and this was posted on X by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So let's hear what it says.
Would not intentionally spray my children or family with toxic aerosols, but as you must know, 80% or better do not have any family or children. Indigo pilots are chosen from the top ranks within the Air Force, Navy, and Coast Guard. Most of the pilots are, quote, hardened to humanity, unquote, and could care less about killing off unwanted or leeching aspects of America and the world. I swear to you, the majority of the pilots are like machines. I call them tanker terminators. We are paid more than any other pilot for our service, other than Air Force One pilots, who make as much or more and are kept in a dark secret world for their own protection.
Turn down the 92-0. Delta 1692, off 56 speed. 79. Delta 6200, Mark 30.
So I'm going to probably play that on the podcast tomorrow. You can see the visual on what they're doing. That was a chemtrail pilot whistleblower that posted that on, or RFK posted it on his X account. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm just reporting at this point because that's what we do. I'm not making any judgment calls. But I'll tell you what. If you're not questioning the narrative at this point, I just don't think you're very smart. I just don't think that you get it, and you haven't done any research, and you just think you know more than you know, because you've been filled so full of crap, your brain has been scrubbed by the mainstream narratives and that are easily debunked. It's not like, oh, gee, they got caught in a lie. They get caught in lies constantly. They're lying all the freaking time. In fact, I have a video here, speaking of cotton lies. And this is a new whistleblower. Okay. This is an MSNBC report, MSLSD. Let's play this real quick. It's only a few seconds. And let's see if it works this time. Here we go.
New alarms being raised about voting systems connected online in several states. Could that make them targets for hackers? NBC's Cynthia McFadden now with the story.
We've heard it at congressional hearings for years.
Our voting machines are not connected to the Internet.
Those are not connected.
Voting machines themselves are not connected to the Internet.
And we knew that wasn't true.
And cybersecurity expert Kevin Skoglin wanted to prove it. So he and nine other independent security consultants created their own search engine looking for election systems online.
We found over 35 had been left online, and we're still continuing to find more.
ESNS insists while there are 14,000 of its modems in use, there are firewalls separating those modems from the public Internet, and that the modems are turned on for just seconds. But Skoglin says that's not enough.
You know, we're seeing Illinois and Michigan.
Last summer, Skoglin's team found ESNS voting systems online in at least some of the precincts in 11 states, including the battleground states of Florida, Michigan, and Wisconsin.
If you were able to get inside these systems, could you do more than perhaps mess up the preliminary results? Could you actually get deeper inside the system?
Absolutely, and that's my biggest concern.
So,
we've been saying all along.
That report was January 10th of 2020. Now, how much have we been hearing since then? Oh, there's no modems. They can't be hacked. They're not connected to the Internet. There's no what? Okay, but I guess before when you lost
only
the
for
election,
seconds.
It's like being just a little bit pregnant. It doesn't happen.
Just for a few seconds.
It's unbelievable.
So in that regard, too, all right, I've got August 30th. So swing state Dems may be illegally recruiting poll watchers, GOP letter warns. Democratic Party may be reaching out-of-state poll watchers, according to a letter Thursday from a Republican National Committee flagging misinformation on the state's party website. The Pennsylvania Democratic Party's website says that the recruited poll watchers must physically be present in the state to work, but do not necessarily have to be PA voters. The state's party guidance contradicts Pennsylvania law that requires poll watchers to be qualified registered elector of the county where the election is taking place, according to the RNC letter. That's completely an inaccurate statement regarding the Pennsylvania poll watchers, Linda Atkinsis, Pennsylvania Election Integrity Council for the RNC, told the Daily Caller News Foundation. Our law is extremely strict on that, and a candidate can't even enter a polling place unless he actually is there to vote. If you want to be a poll watcher, you have to be a resident of the county where the district is. So, once again, we're seeing where they're trying to recruit people, possibly even from out of state, possibly from areas where are far more liberal, so that they can do what specifically?
Sorry. Oh, there would be nothing going on there.
So I guess I wanted to play this clip that you sent me from Pelosi using tax dollars to help illegals buy homes to make home ownership available to all. And, of course, they're not trying to buy votes or they're not trying to get these guys to vote or do anything.
No, of course not.
They wouldn't do stuff like that because they never lie.
Right. And did you see where California just passed the law that it is illegal in California now to ask for ID to vote?
Oh, I did not see that.
Yep,
that
they
doesn't
just
surprise
passed
me at all.
The law in regards to that. Imagine that.
Yeah, you need it to get, you know, a license. You got to drive a car, get on an airplane, get welfare.
We do.
You buy a gun. You got to have an ID for all of that, but you don't need an ID to vote because it doesn't matter. We need citizens of the world here. Workers of the world unite. Here we go. Let's play this.
I mean, they would say the Democrats have changed a lot in that era, too. Do you agree or disagree?
No, I think we've been true to who we are. We are the party of working class people. The kitchen table concerns of America's working families have always been ours. They will take an example here or there and try to tattoo all of us with it. But we are a diverse party. As I say, our diversity is our strength, our unity. Is our power, and that's why we have to come.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Is that a Bill Marshall?
Wow.
You're from out here, you read the local papers. The California lawmakers just passed a law, it hasn't been signed by Governor Newsom, but giving government assistance to undocumented immigrants to buy houses.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a different place than the Democratic Party used to be on immigration. Is it not? I'm not going to say that's what the country's going to do, but that's certainly where California is.
Well, let me just say, immigration had always been a bipartisan issue. I refer you to...
But not free houses.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not free housing. It's the American dream being available to more people. But understand this about immigration.
That aren't American.
Okay, that aren't American.
Immigration was by... President Ronald Reagan. This is the last speech I will make as President of the United States. I want to.
Sarah, these people, it
just
ticks me off. They twist everything. Of course, we're a nation of immigrants. We started as immigrations. We want immigrants, but we want legal immigrants that assimilate into society, that understand the Constitution, their rights, that want to become Americans, self-reliant, that don't want to be, dependent on the government for handouts, that don't want to get free stuff, that actually want to work and make a better society. Not a bunch of people that you just bribe so that you can get votes.
But let me get this straight. It's not free housing, but we're giving you $25,000 to put down. And up to $150,000 for the purchase of the house, only if you refi do you have to make any payments back on the $150,000. But that's not free.
How about this? The American dream is to steal from one American and give it to an illegal alien?
Wow.
That's the American dream?
And mind you, we have homeless veterans that represent maybe 5% of our population that we don't do this for. We don't do anything for our homeless vets. Close to what this is. And so in the meantime, like you said, that money comes out of the taxpayer dollars. So I was seeing another lady. She was breaking down crying. She was a veteran. And she was selling her food truck. And there was an illegal immigrant that was buying her food truck with a government grant. And she was basically saying, I worked my butt off to be able to afford this food truck.
Let's play the rest of the clip.
Sorry.
Wow. Wow.
I'll tell you one thing. The hottest places in hell is where these people are going to go. That's what I believe. All right, here we go.
Communicate a message to the country I love. And he talked about the Statue of Liberty and the beacon of hope it is to the world, and what America was preeminent in the world because our door was always open, and we will cease to be preeminent.
No, it wasn't preeminent because our door was always open. It was preeminent because of freedom and liberty, the right to keep your labor. Everybody worked hard for the dream of building up their own little kingdom, if you will, or castle, based on their work ethic and their ability to earn money without the government taxing them into servitude.
Before you go on, she loves this country? Wow, I hate to see if she hates something.
I bet she does. She loves this country because
she gets rich?
She's scraping the fat off
the
bacon.
Oh, my God.
All right, here we go.
When we shut the door. Now, I don't do justice to the great communicator. Google it. It's a fabulous speech. And George Herbert Walker Bush continued in that respect for the diversity of America and the rest. California's always in the lead. Maybe others will follow that lead, but that's up to those states. But we are very blessed here with beautiful diversity.
So you'd vote for this law?
Excuse me?
So you'd vote for this law?
Well, I'm not familiar with exactly what it is, but making the American dream of home ownership available to all people is something we have to do for people who are here now.
This is before you're a citizen. This is undocumented. This is for the undocumented.
Well, what I would like to do is move them to documented.
So we'll just give you a pass. Here, now you're...
One of the things that we can do for our economy is to pass comprehensive immigration reform so that all these people are participating more fully in our economy, contributing to Social Security, contributing in every way to it. So... The attitude that we have in California of openness is something we share. Whether that translates into particular policy one place or another is up to that region.
Okay.
So does that include voting? Does that include voting?
Yeah, but I want to know, how were these people contributing?
If they're getting 150
to
cash,
anything
150 large cash to buy a house from the government. So that they can get rights to Social Security and vote?
Kind of like, remember when she said with unemployment how it stimulates the economy because you spend it back into the...
Oh, that's just right-wing propaganda. That whole replacement theory thing, even though they've admitted it and they're doing it.
Wow. So we get to pay for them to get $150,000. Doesn't that make you feel good?
And these guys don't lie or cheat.
The additional $25,000.
Oh yeah, the $25,000. So $175,000, I get to pay for them so they can have a house.
And these guys never lie about anything. Let me play this clip. Here's Kamala real quick.
Have to just acknowledge that the residual impact of fracking is enormous in terms of the impact on the health and safety of communities. I think about this issue through the lens of my baby nieces, who are 1.5 and 3 years old. And when I look at those babies and I think about what the world will be like in 20 years if we don't act, I'm really afraid. And as it relates to those Republicans in Congress where I've now been for 2.5 years, every one of those members needs to look at the babies, the grandbabies in their life, and then look in the mirror and ask themselves, why have they failed to act?
And in 2019, you said, quote, there is no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. Fracking, as you know, is a pretty big issue, particularly in your must-win state of Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Do you still want to ban fracking?
No, and I made that clear on the debate stage in 2020, that I would not ban fracking. As vice president, I did not ban fracking. As president, I will not ban fracking.
No flip-flop of position. And in the meantime, she says, you better be thinking about your babies and the life they're going to lead if they don't ban fracking. Did you ban fracking?
Oh, and here's the other thing in regards to what we just talked about all the people that are coming over with the not great replacement theory, but and also think about your babies and your children. Except according to a recent Morgan Stanley article published, pretending impact on women's American economy, 45% of women are expected to be single and childless by 2030 per recent projection. These are projections for ages 25 to 44 years old. And that's pretty interesting. That's that nothing.
Well, you're
bad
not
going
to have to worry
all,
about
right?
it because the price controls will take care of everything because everybody will have starved by then. So there's no issue. Get rid of the population real easy.
And
so,
we saw that China did this, and we saw what happened to their economy. They basically made a one-child policy. They made it to where we started eliminating people.
Yeah, and how's that working over there?
Oh, yeah. Now they removed that because now their economy is crumbling because they don't have enough people to be able to do it.
These people are a train wreck. And, I mean, from her tax plan on unrealized capital gains, you got 300,000 missing children, minors on the human trafficking on the border. Now we've got Venezuelan gangs with guns that are taking over apartment complexes in Colorado.
Yeah. Yeah, and the governor there blames the federal government for
now,
that.
Now, mind you, in Colorado, they just passed gun legislation that made it harder for people to get concealed carry permits and also made it illegal to be able to carry your weapons in many, many areas. And so now, after this, you've got Venezuelan gangs, which I encourage you to go look up the video. They've got AK-47s with 30-round magazines, and they're going door-to-door breaking into people's homes at gunpoint and taking all their crap.
Yeah, nothing to see here. It's move along.
And if you don't think that's not going to happen someplace near you with everything that's going on,
the other thing
you might want to think about that a little bit.
The other thing that I'm seeing here is, and this is all over X, breaking. Hell's Angel Army is heading towards Aurora, Colorado. Now, I don't know if that's what you want to see going on, but... And I'm not advocating that that's a good thing.
There's going to be some Batman-level crap that's coming up here unless people start actually doing it. Because we don't have a rule of law. A nation without borders isn't a nation
at
all.
I heard they called in the National Guard in Aurora. I'm not positive on that, but I was told that the National Guard was called in.
Meanwhile, the things that's really important to the Vermont Department of Health is inclusive language for families. Use child or kid instead of daughter or son. The gender neutral can decide the child may not want someone's legal son or daughter. Say family members rather than household members. Not all families live in the same home. Think divorced or incarcerated parents, step beings, etc. Say family rather than extended family.
Step beans? Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Step beans.
Say family rather than extended family. Our grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins are important parts of the core family as well.
Huh. And we can't say illegal aliens?
No, we want them all to be documented. We want them all to have houses, even though people like me, there's not a chance in hell I'm able to afford a house.
I bet
right
they
got
to get an ID to get the house. Because you can't sign documents unless you have ID.
I bet they don't.
To buy a house.
Unless you're illegal. You don't have to sign it.
Or you just go into Aurora and take over whoever property that you want with a gun.
Yeah. As long as you're illegal. I mean, there's nothing to stop you doing that, huh?
Except maybe a group of Hell's Angels on their way. We're getting into Wackville, and it's going to get worse and worse. If we do not win this election, I'm telling you, it's going to turn into frickin' Cuba, Soviet Union. Take
and
your
it
pick.
Needs to not just be the president. Once again, people.
I'm not talking about just the president here.
That's specifically what I'm saying. Right now, everything is Trump, Trump, Trump on a lot of people's minds. And the fact of the matter is, it'll be just like the first time he ended up getting in to where he'll have to do everything by executive order and nothing will stick unless we actually get the representatives in there that are going to have some balls and actually get the stuff done that we need to get done. And published into law.
You're a racist, aren't you?
I'm bad at it.
It's just unbelievable.
I mean, the guy that's multiple races and basically a mutt who's interracially married, who has interracial kids, is a racist. Yep.
Yep, you are. I'm glad you finally let us know all about
I
that.
I think you should sign that in blood somewhere.
Yeah.
I'll get right on that at the Church of Satan.
There you go. Well, they, you know, with the new AB666 coming out of Sacramento, I mean, you could probably sign right up for that.
Oh, yeah.
You might have to spike your hair and wear some costumes and, I don't know.
You better change your hair color.
You have a last name that rhymes with a phallus. So here's a big one, too. So Brazil.
Like is that like Harris?
Well, I was thinking more like an Anthony Weiner situation.
Oh, well, come on. Well, there you go.
Okay.
Comrade Kabbalah, go ahead.
Brazil blocks MuxX after company refuses to name local representatives.
Oh, you know, it's funny you brought that. I just saw that. And then, you know, what's interesting is that Robert Reich, the famous economist, urges global regulators to arrest Elon.
Mm-hmm. Well, and not to mention, we had the Telegram guy that ended up being arrested. Yep.
That's not censorship. That's just
free speech. That's
called misinformation that we have to control.
And this is the thing. They always say, oh, we'll make your own platform. We did. You blocked it on all the payment servers. We'll make your own payment servers. We did. And you blocked those on all the international web and all the rest of it. So
yeah, I'm going to say that when we get to the point where they say, can we have some more some food? No, you grow your own. We did. Too bad.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're basically at the place to where now you've got a whole bunch of the farmland that's being bought up by China, and the rest of it's owned by Bill Gates. What could go wrong?
I don't know if we're going to go too far down that, but it's time for
no
the show.
No problem.
We are at the end of the show. I hope you guys enjoyed it out there. We'll be back again next week.
Well,
we're doing
see
podcast
you next week.
Tomorrow. And go to Sovereign Minds at Rumble or mountaintopmedia.com. Remember, government is not reason and is not eloquence. It is force, and horse like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. And we'll see
have
you
a great week.
And don't go put it with the government, and all gun control is racist. See y'all
you
next week.
You almost missed it.
And it is September 1st.